Hello, and welcome to the Social Media Show podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Pollinger. This is the audio version of the Social Media Show, which goes out live on Facebook at 9 a.m. on Mondays. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe. In this episode, I chat to Kerry Lynn Pike of Macmillan Cancer Support and learn how her charity make the very best use of digital marketing and social media. Hello and welcome to the Social Media Show, and a special welcome to Kerry Lynn Pike, who joins me from Macmillan Cancer Support. So I'm just going to try and get your job title right, Kerry Lynn. So it's Senior External Comms Manager Wales, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Well done. It's a catchy one.
Good. Glad I got that one right. Thank you very much for joining us today. Great to have you on the show. So getting straight into things, going to be talking to you about digital marketing and social media for your charity. How important would you say digital marketing is for your charity and charities in general?
I think it's at the forefront now. I think particularly the last couple of years, you know, we really do make sure that not only are we thinking about the PR side, which is really important for my team and making sure people know about Macmillan and the support we offer, but making sure that we do engaging social media content and have really good conversations with our audiences online is really, really important to Macmillan. And obviously, as you say, lots of other charities across the sector, it's becoming more and more important. And for my team, it's a huge objective for us to make sure that we're having really good stories on our social content channels, but also really having good conversations with our audiences too.
Yeah, you mentioned sort of like key words there that I sort of use a lot in training, namely sort of stories and content. Is that where a lot of focus of your role goes to, or are you more sort of on the strategic side, or a bit of both?
A bit of both. So I'm very fortunate. I lead a team of three. So I, you know, sort out our strategy, make sure that it's in line with what Macmillan wants to achieve and, you know, the organization's objectives to make sure that we reach everyone affected by cancer, which is at the forefront of what we do. And so I do a mix. And the way that my team approaches it is looking at the brilliant stories from a PR perspective, but also the content around it that will help us to really tell those stories well digitally. So whether that's audiograms that we've started using recently because we've launched a podcast, whether it's lovely images and video. We do a lot of video creation in-house on using iMovie as well. So that's become a big, big focus for the team over the last couple of years.
So do you see audio sort of playing an increasing part in terms of content?
Absolutely. For us, we launched our podcast a couple of weeks ago now. It's called What Matters to Me, if people want to search it out on their podcast provider. We spent quite a long time researching it, making sure it was the right thing for us to be doing and where would it sit within our kind of content package, as I see it, in terms of what we offer. And we think it's really important for us, podcasts and audio it's that longer form storytelling. And sometimes when we're interviewing people with cancer or when they're interviewed for TV, for example, you know, it may be 30 seconds that gets used. Whereas with that audio and with podcasting, you've got that luxury of that longer time. And one of the podcasts I recorded recently, I sat down with someone that, you know, has told his story from Macmillan many, many times, but I got so much more out of it in terms of knowing things he'd never shared before because we had that time and space, you know, that 20-minute conversation rather than a soundbite. So absolutely something really important to us. And it's something that's been a really exciting thing to kind of add to our repertoire, really.
Yeah, sounds really good. And we'll put the link in the comments afterwards so people can go and pick that up. Is it always an interview format that you use for the podcast?
Yeah, we spent quite a lot of time looking at what we wanted to do, whether the interview format was best for us. And after listening to lots of podcasts by other charities, but also, you know, leaders in the sector, we felt that was probably the right thing for us, those conversations, just seemed to, the interview format seemed to be the best fit. And we've had lovely feedback so far. And also what's been amazing as well is to see how we've got cut through into PR and into the media as well from those stories. So clearly it's something that interests people. And it just, as I say, gives people that longer space and time to share those stories. And I think it gives a bit more depth as well.
Excellent. And probably a good time to remind people off the back of that the show is also available as a podcast, so you can just pick that up on your favorite podcasting platform. Every week is on there, and today's will be on there later today. Okay, so I noticed from your LinkedIn profile you've got a bit of a journalism background. Does that still come into play in terms of, I mean, I guess obviously the knowledge from the PR side is very useful, but are you actually writing much content as part of your role?
I'm quite fortunate that I can write quite a lot of content, especially at the moment when it's, you know, annual leave season, so lots of the team obviously are away or out and about. I tend to be able to have a lot of time writing some of the thought leadership things, which has been great. But recently I've been writing quite a lot relating to the palliative care unit we're building with Cwmtaf, which is a 5 million investment from Macmillan with support from National Garden Scheme, so our biggest investment in Wales. I've been leading on that, and it's been a really lovely project to be writing about, drawing on those journalism skills. And I think just more generally that the journalism background has just given me a really good news sense. So, you know, understanding what the hooks and the angles will be. Although it's interesting to see how that's changed since my time as a journalist more than a decade ago, whereas now, you know, journalists are thinking digital first and what's going to get, you know, really good engagement online. So there's definitely been a bit of a shift there that I've been kind of getting used to and getting the team used to as well.
And it's only online, we know when we think of digital marketing, we're sort of talking about social media, email newsletters, podcasting, you mentioned is sort of in there as well, websites. Is it quite a challenge to get all those to sort of integrate and work together?
Yeah, so my team at the moment, we're responsible for PR and all of Macmillan Wales' social channels. So our big priority ones are Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, YouTube. Mm-hmm. We have got a foray into Medium as well. So we've started using that, and we've got a blog and obviously our podcast as well, because we're responsible for all of that. I think from the outset of planning any story and storytelling now, we're thinking about what's going to make it work for each of those channels. We've got central teams then that work in terms of digital newsletters and things. So again, we're always thinking about how's that going to be tailored for that audience as well. So I think that we just really changed that approach. I think probably 4, 5, 6 years ago, we probably were very focused on press releases and things, whereas now we really do think about the whole content package. Which has been really helpful as we're becoming more of a digital first kind of organization.
It sounds like a lot of work, especially as you say, sort of tailoring it for each audience, which is obviously working for you. So in relation to that, I imagine that you've sort of even got, and there was a lot of channels there, are there actually sort of like separate objectives for each of those channels, or maybe like a primary objective? And then, you know, because obviously it's going to be some overlap, but how does that work? Do they have a defined objective?
We have defined objectives in terms of reach and engagement on each of the channels. Getting a really good engagement rate, particularly on Facebook and Twitter, is what we're looking for, which is always that challenge when the algorithms change. So what we do is we sit down, we do a very in-depth analysis every month of what's our best content and trying to unpick why that's worked really well, why that's really touched and engaged our audiences. And then we also look at, okay, what didn't work so well? You know, what was it about that just didn't work so well? So we can then adapt and change. And that's the beauty with social media. You get such in-depth analytics. It's really important to look at that to then use that insight to tailor that content and your approach to those channels. The use of stories as well, you know, in terms of Instagram and Facebook has obviously become hugely important as well. So that's been something that we've been a lot more focused on probably this year, I'd say.
Yes, picking up on a couple of things there. You know, I think when it comes to businesses and charities, the measurement side, which you mentioned there, is kind of often neglected, isn't it? So quite a good message from you there for people to take notice of that, because there is so much that can be measured, and there is so much to be learned, isn't there, in terms of your past activity and improving your future activity. So, and stories as well. So are you making sort of that, again, that's sort of pretty much at the forefront. A lot of businesses and organizations not really there yet with stories. So are you finding Instagram stories more useful than Facebook? I mean, very few people are doing Facebook stories. Are you doing Facebook stories as well?
Yeah, we are doing Facebook stories as and when we can. It's a newbie for us. Instagram stories certainly seems to be working very well, and it's something that we've been more focused on probably since about October, November last year. We had a team member who was particularly talented at that side, who really opened my eyes in particular to how important that element was and how it could engage and reach new audiences. So Instagram in particular, those stories have been working for us. We do everything bilingually as much as we can as well. So one of the challenges, but also opportunities of the stories, is how do we make sure that we're telling those stories as well as we can in English and in Welsh, as that's a really important kind of objective for us. So always kind of learning and playing with that.
Yeah, and that has got to be a bit tricky, because it's not kind of set up with anything built in to enable you to do that. So how are you actually doing that? Do you sort of create one story in English and one in Welsh, or do you put the translation on the same page, or how does that sort of work?
We try and take an integrated approach. So this morning, before we started chatting, I've done one around our mobile information bus Bronwyn. It's in Cardiff this week. So I've got, you know, the English content at the top and then the Welsh at the side. Very similar. On the Twitter side, since the 240 characters came in, I actually did a blog about that at the time, thinking, yes, this is brilliant for us.
More space to work with.
You've got more space to work with and to try and interplay both languages. From Facebook, we try and make sure that we use the language tools as much as we can, so that people who want their content in Welsh, by just clicking that, you know, the Welsh section, they'll see it purely in Welsh. And so Facebook's a lot further down the line, I think, to kind of be able to play with those tools.
Cool. And sort of touched on video a little bit, and blogging and Medium. Oh yeah, I was just going to say about Medium. Perhaps you could sort of talk a little bit about Medium for those people that don't know what Medium is.
Yeah, so we've been using it, and Macmillan as a whole has started using it to kind of host a lot of our press content and statements. It's something that's quite new for us this year. So it's kind of a blog site that people can go into. Mm. It tends to host quite a lot of long form content as well. So it's something that we're playing with, and hopefully it's a bit of a hub where people can easily access our kind of statements and those longer stories that we're putting out. And I think you've got to try these things, haven't you? So well worth a look.
And you know, we took quite a wide range of content there. So we've got blogging, podcasting, you mentioned stories, and I think you mentioned video as well. So out of all of those, which would you say can you see sort of going forward is going to be the most important?
For my team, making sure that our video content works really well for all our social channels is vitally important. This year, we've recently had training just to make sure that our video editing and the way we shoot our videos is as top notch as it can be. For me, that's really, really important. I think that we've done quite a lot of live streams. It's something we probably need to do more of, but I think if we can get the video content right for each channel, I think that will help us just create that content that's really interesting and tailored for all of those different audiences. So for me, that's
so sounds like you're doing a bit of sort of mixture of informal sort of mobile phone sort of footage, but also professional in the terms of getting it edited and looking good afterwards as well. So it really does seem like you've got a lot of work doing all the different content that you're doing.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but I love the variety of it. You know, the fact that one day you kind of, last week I was filming at the palliative care unit we're building, and the next day I was at the Royal Welsh and recorded a little podcast with our team there. And then, you know, I was also recording videos with them and tweeting from the day. It's really varied, but I love it. And I love the fact that we can just try all these different things and see what's working and then kind of evaluate and shift what we're doing as a result. So I find the variety quite exciting.
Cool. So I'm just going to invite people to ask questions. If you have got any questions on digital, social media, or you want to ask Carolyn anything at all about digital, social, or charities, then please do post in the comments and we'll try and answer you live. And if you're watching the replay or listening to the podcast, then if you can find your way to the video and do the same, post in the comments. We'll be keeping an eye on that and can pick up and answer your questions there. So we haven't mentioned, you know, increasingly it's becoming more important for people to pay to promote their content on social networks in terms of ads. Is that part of your strategy, or is it do you rely solely on organic content?
A big focus for us is organic, but 18 months ago we launched a big, probably actually more than 18 months ago, we launched a tool called Your Cancer Care in Wales, because people were telling us they didn't necessarily know what they should be getting. And so we launched this small guide that's pocket size that people can take, bilingual, they can take it to their appointments, and there's space where they can write notes down and questions as well, so suggested questions, so that they could maybe get the answers they were looking for from their cancer care teams. Because we not all know, an appointment, you walk in and sometimes you forget what you wanted to ask and then walk out and then remember those questions 10 minutes later. And so when we launched that, we really wanted to reach new audiences that weren't engaged with Macmillan. So we did, for the first time in a Wales context, a massive paid-for Facebook campaign. Which was massively successful for us. We reached 647,000 people within fortnight-long campaign, an engagement rate that was above the Facebook advertising level, which was great. And we actually won a CIPR not-for-profit silver award, last year's award for that campaign.
Congratulations.
So many people. 1,000 people downloaded the resource as well, which again was far above our objectives. And it continues to be one that's a really popular for us. So we've definitely tried paid for, and we'll definitely be doing it again. But organic will always be, I think, our biggest objective, because as a charity we're very conscious of making sure that, you know, everyone's amazing donations are used, you know, for the best kind of purposes. But it was a very exciting campaign to work on that one.
Yes, it sounds like sort of paid for when you've got something very strategically focused to concentrate on, and you want to give that a boost, then you're utilizing it there. Yeah. So just mentioned donations there, and I appreciate there's almost certainly people in Macmillan Cancer Support who are dedicated to the fundraising side, but there is a bit of overlap with social and digital. Is it is that becoming increasingly important now with Facebook's fundraising tools, for example, which I noticed that you've got set up? Is that going to play an important part in future, do you think?
I think it's going to be a huge part of our fundraising strategy. And just last week we had a Thanks to You Thanking Day, where we, on Thursday across Macmillan's social media channels, we kind of turned them over to say a huge thank you, not only to our fundraisers and our donors, but our volunteers as well that help us do what we need to do. So it's absolutely a huge part of what we're doing. We use the donate function ourselves, maybe when we've got key videos and stories that we're putting out, and we've tested it out a couple of times and have been really surprised with how well it's gone. So it's absolutely there, a big part of our strategy, and I think it's something we'll be using more of at a Wales level when we've got, you know, the things that feel like the right fit for getting those donations.
Cool. And moving on to yourself a little bit, what would you say your favourite social network is?
Twitter.
Maybe you've got a different one for personal and for Macmillan, but
For me personally, it's Twitter, because I get so much of my news content. In terms of comms expertise and best practice, Twitter is kind of my go-to place. I absolutely love it. From Macmillan perspective, Facebook and Twitter remain our biggest priority areas and the ones where we have the best conversations. But in terms of supporters and donations, it's amazing how Instagram's grown for us in terms of Macmillan. Weekend, it's amazing how many people have gone out and done fundraisers, and they've tagged us in their stories and they've tagged us in their posts and things, and they really want to share those stories, and it's lovely to see. So that's there.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, because like you mentioned, the conversation very early on, and if they're starting the conversation, then it's even better, because it sort of makes it easier for you to go back and continue that conversation then. So
cool.
Can you remember which social network you joined first?
So it was Facebook. I'm gonna be honest here, it was probably MySpace. I was definitely on MySpace, which seems quite funny now. It seems quite outdated. So it was MySpace, shortly followed by Facebook, which I only joined in 2007. I'm always a bit of a, not always, but quite often a bit of a late adopter with those sorts of things, particularly because social wasn't a huge part of my role at time. So joined that in 2004.
That was still pretty early days. It was only 2004 that it kicked off.
Oh, there we go. And I remember having my 10-year Twitterversary this year. So I joined Twitter in March 2009. So, yes.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was kind of curious, but it was just starting to become quite a big part of your journalism role. And I was still in journalism at that point.
All right. Yeah, of course. Yes. And just a couple of questions to finish off. If you were to give advice to somebody sort of starting out in a comms team or with a comms role for a charity, what would be your sort of key bit of advice for perhaps a young person starting out in that sort of role?
Be enthusiastic, be curious, look at what content's out there that you really like and really enjoy, look at what other charities are doing and learn from that. Be open, be friendly in terms of people working in other charities, because it is a small world. It's amazing when you actually meet up at these events, it is a really, really small world. So it's lovely when you're kind of sharing advice and expertise and just being there for each other. Actually, I quite often go to charity comms events, and the scenarios that you face and the examples that you have, there's so much crossover. So that's absolutely what I'd suggest. And find what your USP is as well. So when
that's
you look
good
at the team, is there anything that you can carve out for you and that you can bring to that team and you can really get that in-depth expertise in that area as well. I think that's always helpful.
Brilliant, thank you for that. One final question coming up, but just a reminder to people, if they would like to leave a review of the podcast, assuming of course that they do enjoy it and find it useful, the reviews really do help us spread the word about the show. So final question then, one which I ask all my guests, and I understand, I heard a whisper that you like the occasional cocktail, so
now and again.
If you were to go for a cocktail with any living person, who would that be and why?
Actually, and from I was thinking about it from a social media perspective, and it would be Hal Reynolds, because it feels followed her and I'm so inspired by what she does, not only in the drawing, but her comms creative club and things. And although we don't probably work too far down the road from each other, we've never actually met. So I'd like to take her for a drink and learn more about making my content more engaging, I think.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because most of the answers I get from people are completely unachievable. But as you say, I think she is South Wales based, so that one could really happen. So good luck with arranging that.
Indeed.
And thank you very much for joining us today, Carolyn. It's been excellent, and learnt a lot about your role and Macmillan. And best of luck for your future success with Macmillan. That's it for this week. No show, no social media show next week, as I have an all-day workshop on Monday with a bit of travelling, so I won't be able to fit it in. But back the week after with an Instagram influencer the week after, so do tune in for that. So that's it. Thank you very much, and bye, Carolyn, and thank you once again for joining. Bye for now. Cheers.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the Social Media Show, please leave a review. I'd be really grateful. If you would like to make the best use of social media for your business, organisation or charity, I can help you. Please visit pollingersocial.co.uk, or you can find me on social media at pollingersocial.